Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
King of kings, we worship You this day. Glory to the King of kings, we worship You this day. Glory to the King of kings.
I worship you, Lord. the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tonight we're still looking at too busy not to pray, too busy not to listen and take time to see what God, our Heavenly Father, is saying at this time and season, and to be able to really come into His presence and spend quality time, not just where we come in quickly and leave quickly, but where we are able to just sit and relax and really have communion, really, really have communion. Jeremiah said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13. And we look at it so often where we talk about the power of God. We talk about the manifested power of God. And we have to spend genuine time in His presence and allow Him to perfect that which He began in us, the perfect power, the perfect anointing that we would begin to see His presence manifested and enjoyed by all. It says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And it comes to a time where we should not have to wait on someone else to encourage us or wait on someone else to pump us up. But because we've taken the time to spend in God's presence and we know what that fellowship is like, and it literally drives us to the point where prayer means something to us now. Prayer means something to us that we know that in His presence is fullness of joy. We know that in His presence that whatever has captured our attention will begin to lose sway over our lives, over our attentions, because we're too busy not to pray. Because we know that if we're too busy that we don't spend time in His presence, we're too busy that we don't spend the time sitting at His feet, it's to our own detriment. It's to our own detriment. We look and we see the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew when it was time to pull aside, you know, as fully human, He knew when it was time to pull aside and to rest. And I think that's where we miss it so often. We think we can go full throttle 24/7 and not need the rest, not need the time where we're just quiet in His presence, waiting for the engagement of fellowship. And authentic Christianity becomes such that we know that we who are practicing authentic Christianity have to spend that time in His presence. Have to. There's no other way. There's no other way that we can really effectively minister to others except that we spend time in His presence, getting to know Him and learning His voice and learn His ways. There's no other way. There's no other way that we have to slow down and spend that time. We can't just give God the leftover. We can't just wake up and think that we can give Him any old little small portion, but that it becomes evident that we give Him the best part of the day, the best part of our devotion, so that as we are moving forward, we will begin to see more of his power, more of his grace. Jesus himself, at one point in the book, it says that Jesus was too busy not to pray. Jesus was too busy not to listen. For Jesus, connecting with the Father was vital in knowing what to do and how to do it. Jesus put it like this: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and sees him all he does, and shows him, rather, all he does. It becomes evident that vital connection, that vital knowing who God is and what and how to connect with him becomes all the more important, that we have to be still and know the Lord is God. That's Psalm 46:10. Being, not only doing, it is the heart of prayer. And since we are so used to doing, being still requires us being intentionally still. Not running up and down, not with the phone on, not with the other things on, but intentionally being still. We need to learn how to do it. We find a place where we can relax without distraction, sitting in an atmosphere that's conducive for worship, for meditation, and quiet, just to literally quiet our body, quiet our mind, to the point that all the busyness begins to subside. And sometimes it's people find it good to just go on a retreat or to go to a special place where they can just close the door and stop the busyness and stop the anxious thoughts and just turn everything off and just spend that time quieting themselves down and enjoying God's presence. There's no other way to do it. You have to quiet your mind. You have to quiet the racing thoughts. You have to quiet everything that's clamoring at your attention, that wants your attention. But then you begin to see that it only wants your attention so that it can distract you from the more useful part. I look at that as being Mary and Martha. Mary chose the better part. She chose to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She chose to be to unwind and to sit at his feet. And her sister chose the opposite, to be anxious, to be worried, to be up and down, to be running about so many things when there was only one thing that was needful, and that one thing was being in God's presence, sitting at his feet, being still and knowing that he alone is God. We go on to see that just so many good things begin to happen. God begins to open our understanding. He begins to give us insight and revelation as to who he is, the fatherhood of God, and just how much he loves us. The communion began to go in such a way that he reveals his very heart. I think that's during those times that when he says the secret things belong to him, but he reveals them to whom he chooses. And it's those who decide to take him at his word, sit at his feet, that he begins to reveal those mysteries, those things that only a friend would share with another friend, you know. Let's go on to see that. In that, we begin to learn Also, the patterns of prayer, you know, the four patterns for prayer. And it's so easy to get distracted once you get into the closet, that as you map it out, as you're in God's presence, you're listening for his voice. And there are times that you will sing, there are times that you will read scripture, there are times that you will pray, and then there are times that you will just be still. Also, you could use that time for adoration. And adoration is telling God how terrific he is, how awesome he is, and what you appreciate about him. Confession, you can take that time in terms of confession. And confession is sharing with God the things that you don't feel good about and asking his forgiveness. Those things that maybe where you slipped up or you fell, where you literally take that time and allow God to cleanse and restore you. Another aspect of it could be literally thanksgiving and for God's blessings, rather, friendship, relationship, and the good things in life. You're being specific about them, just giving God thanks, just thinking of all of the things. The Word of God says that he daily loads us with benefits. And so if he daily loads us with benefits, we can find something 24/7 to give him thanks for. We can find some little something that God has done, God has said, that would challenge our hearts to give him thanks. And then there's supplication. Supplication is asking God for help in any area of your life or in the lives of other people you care about. And you're taking that time and you're interceding and praying on their behalf. And just as you take that time and you're making your supplication and you're praying for all the things that matter to you, you will have occupied and the time would go so quickly. Some Christians even divide a page into four, jot down a few notes under each, and then pray out aloud about those things. And that's where you can take the time and just really get into it and really put it on paper, and you see what you're praying and how you're praying. We're going to take a small break. And we'll be right back. We've covered our half an hour of live broadcast. And it's getting interesting because I think God is going to take us to a place of really setting our time correctly. We have someone on hold. Let's just see. We're going. We have a few minutes. And we'll just see if we can talk to them. Hello, you're on the line.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hi,
can
you hear
you're
me?
Live. Yes, I can.
Hi, can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
I just listened to the end of the broadcast, and I like what you were saying so far, and I enjoyed it. The title, Wordless Prayers, I wish I had gotten the meat of the program, and I missed that part because I was interested in what you were talking about as far as wordless prayers. I think you were talking about the groans, as I believe, but I always wondered if there's words. I always wonder, like, sometime when you be moaning and groaning, I know that's still a prayer, but is it still effective?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. If you're talking about literally when the Holy Spirit, we're talking about when the Holy Spirit takes over and he
mm-hmm.
intercedes on our behalf. And then
mm-hmm.
even when, I don't know if you've ever been to a place where you just don't have the words, and
yes.
sometimes you're in God's presence and you're just, maybe there's a moan, maybe there's a groan, maybe there's just nothing. But
mm-hmm.
when we're in God's presence, the Holy Spirit literally takes those groans and he intercedes on our behalf with groans and utterings that become wordless prayers, you
mm-hmm.
know. But God mm-hmm. knows the heart. He knows it's like a language that He knows. He understands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we mean by wordless prayer, that sometimes you read where Hannah in the scriptures, it
mm-hmm.
says her lips moved, you
mm-hmm.
know. She was praying, but only her lips moved. And that's sometimes where, say, for instance, you're going through something traumatic or you're interceding for your children. And
right.
you get to that place where, God, you know my heart. And I think that's the place where the Holy Spirit begins to intercede on our behalf with words
right.
that literally hit the throne room.
Right, because at
yes.
times I will find myself like I'm praying and I will open my mouth to speak, but I find myself
mm-hmm.
just my mouth being open. And it's like, and sometimes words will come in as far as a complaint or murmur complaint, and I won't speak it out. But I find out myself that I need to find the right words to say, and then I don't. I just be like, my mouth be open, and nothing will come out. But in my mind, I'm praying to God, I'm talking to God, and I can sense myself being in the presence of God. But there, sometimes I find myself don't have nothing to say, but at the same time, my heart is heavy. So I have a better understanding. Mm-hmm.
And that's where your heart is communicating. You know how sometimes you're in with you have a very close friend, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's nothing even said, but heart to heart, you know where that person is, and that person knows where you are. And I
mm-hmm.
think prayer is the same way with the Heavenly Father, that when
mm-hmm.
we go into His presence and we pour out our hearts, but then we get
mm-hmm.
to that place where there are no words, that only our hearts are so broken that
right.
the Holy Spirit begins to intercede for us.
Mm-hmm.
And those words become literally firebrand, and we see the results of them.
Right, yes, yes, yes. But I'm sorry I didn't get the whole.
Amen.
I can listen to the archive, but I enjoy what I read, what I listened to so far. It was the last, I guess, 3 or 4 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. We are live from 11 to 11:30, and then from 11:30
mm-hmm.
to 11:45 or so, we continue the broadcast, but we tape it. Is there anyone
right.
you want to pray for? Any prayer requests you may have?
Well, I have. Well, this is for my family, but one of my sons, he's taking a breakup from his girlfriend really, really bad. And it looked like he might have to come back home. I don't have a problem with that. I'd rather him to do that to have to want to survive by other means as far as something illegally. And my prayer to God would just step in and just make a way for him and then calm my nerves down, too, as a mother. You know, but
okay, you want to go ahead? Go,
mm-hmm.
go ahead, and I'll let you pray for him. Just take the time and pray for him, and pray for others that may come to your mind. Just take this time and make it a live prayer for him.
Oh,
go
yes.
ahead.
Well,
pray.
Yeah, I had to go in the other. I was busy doing something right now, but I'm just praying that the Lord will, you know, any means that the enemy. I pray to God that the enemy. That the enemy will use to try to cause any tragedy or any misfortune or either illness upon my son. I pray that, you know, the God will circle a fire of the Holy Ghost around him to protect him. I pray that God knows my heart and knows that how I could be intercede and pray for not only for him but for my other children. I pray that God will continue to protect them like he's always been and always calls them, all of my children, not only just him, but all the other four, to always be at the right place at the right time and to continue to keep his eye on him. I pray that the Lord will just continue to protect him, to open his eyes, understand, to draw him closer to him. You know, because I believe it's a calling on his life, and I believe that what the enemy is trying to do is seek, kill, and destroy. But I come up against him through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, that he will not have him, his mind or his soul or his body, anything that's concerning him, that the enemy will not. And I pray that he is our intercessor, and pray that God be in our intercessor, that he is right hand is standing right there on the beside the right hand of God, that what I can pray, that Jesus will also is also in the ears of the Father, that he will intercede on our family behalf, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Are there others you want to pray for tonight? Is there anyone else you want to pray for tonight? It's your time. You've got the open mic, so you can pray as the Holy Spirit leads you.
Well, I just pray that, you know, in spite of what's going on in the world, and even with the weather that it is, that it's those that are suffering, those that are homelessness, and those that are trying to survive, that pray that Jesus will just supply all their needs, not only just spiritually, but naturally as well, that, you know, that a revival will come, a revival will come and just wake people's minds up, even those that are believers that are slumbering, that it seems like that nowadays that so much is going on, and the church would just rise up and just take its rightful place as the body of Christ to bring forth miracles, to bring forth healing and deliverance, that we need to see more of that. Not to say that because we don't see it enough that God can't do it. We know that God can do it. There's no question with that. There's no question with that. But the body of Christ needs to stand up and just fight for what's right, fight for holiness, and fight for righteousness. Regardless, we know the outcome. We know the disciples, they fought no matter what. And as believers and disciples of Christ and all over, I think we should always stand up for what's right, and that, you know, revival will come where we can see more deliverance, more healing, more salvation, that in churches where with people, when they go to the altar, that the way they go down, that they don't leave the same way that they come back up, where we have, you call altar calls, and the people are changed, people are delivered, people are set free. The addiction is so bad. I work in the prison system, and I pray and I see so much, and what is being overlooked is mental illness. A lot that people do not realize, that a lot of crime stuff that are going on. I pray that it be a more mental health awareness, that people will know that a lot of times these crimes are being omitted. I'm finding out that a lot of people are on drugs, fighting some type of depression or behavior problems, and a lot of crimes are committed behind that. Just make note that something could be done, that those that God may call in that field to come forward and just attack it. Make people more aware of how to pray, how to direct their prayer, especially in intercession. You know, because when you are intercessor, you know, you're more strategic in your prayer. And just pray that God would just give us strategies on how to pray for certain situations in our lives, in the personal, in the world alike. And just always be prepared, because a lot of times it seems like that, not say that things are going right, but to always say that the enemy is always sneaky, and then when something will come upon you, and it seems like you're taking off guard. But we know that the Holy Spirit will always try to warn us a lot of times before things happen, and sometimes we're aware, sometimes we're not aware. But it's always be prepared for beforehand of the enemy plans and his scheme of devices in our lives. And just want a revival. I pray that a revival will come. We can see more people come to Christ, and it make a difference in this world. That's it.
How do you think in praying, and in the revival coming, and you said you work in the prison system, how do you think and seeing the people that are coming through the doors that do have the mental illness, what would you do, or what would you suggest could be done to help those that have the mental health issues?
Right. In prison, there are so many churches that have prison ministry. Why are you there? Why are you there? Are you there for passion? Are you there because you're called? Or are you there because you want to be part of the prison ministry? That part plays a difference. That part plays a difference. But we do have
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. How do you see mm-hmm. that? How do you see, we have 4 minutes. How do you mm-hmm. see the people that are coming into the prison, how can they be more effective to be able to help?
Honey, we will say, okay, more prayer, staying in contact with those that are there and didn't have it and lifting them up in prayer. Materials, believe it or not, those prisoners, they like that. They like the outside help to come in, and they like the idea that they know that other people are praying for them. They like the idea that people are taking the time to come visit them. They like the idea that people are coming down and having fellowship with them in the outside world. We need more of that, more effectiveness, bringing the materials in, praying for them, and being more active in their lives. And then also, believe it or not, though, to know that their family is taken care of as far as prayer. That helps, too. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's so much I can talk about that. But I believe for effective prison ministry, when you have that passion for the souls that's inside the prison, that makes the difference. That really, really makes the difference. And you can see, and then God can give you strategies on how to pray, how to identify what's going on for those souls. And it's so much behind those closed doors that the outside world do not know. And this is why we need those that involved in prison ministry to have that passion and go on that calling, because everybody in prison ministry is not called. That makes the difference. If you're calling, having that passion for those lost souls behind those bars.
Okay, so you see that being the key, that people come, but what you're seeing is that they don't really have a passion for the prisoners or for the prison ministry.
That's what I'm hearing. 30 years in the system, I have seen it. I have seen where people have it, and I see a difference. I have seen so many times where people will come in and first with some guys, and they will go back into the prison. Once they leave, they go back and take it back to the inmate population. I have seen revival break out in the prisons, but now lately, I have not. I have not. And
Go ahead. We have a few more minutes, but I want you to call back next Friday night, and we will have an open discussion about prison ministry, because I think it's important that you're inside the system, and I think it's important seeing it from your set of eyes that we can have maybe a discussion, you know, take the 30 minutes and discuss how to be effective in prison ministry. And letting people know that there is a great need, that you see that there is a difference when people come in and they are called and they have a passion for the work. I thank you so much. You don't have to give me your name, because I do understand in terms of your...
It's Vivian. My name is Vivian, yes.
Okay. Okay. But I thank God for you, and I thank God for what he's doing in your life, and that it would begin to manifest what he's doing in your life and in your son's life and in your entire family's life, that God is doing a great work, and that you will not be discouraged. You know, next Friday, and we will definitely discuss the opportunities that abound from what you see to reach out to prison. You know,
What time Friday?
Friday, if you call about 11 o'clock. Well, actually, if you call about 11:05.
Okay, yes. Believe it or not, Friday, I am speaking at my church on the prison ministry on Friday.
Okay, if you don't have time, you can call in on Saturday, because we're about to cut off because our time is up. So if next Saturday, which is better, Friday or Saturday?
I work even on Monday to Friday, but I'm off on Saturday. But I am off that Friday anyway, so it doesn't matter. I will call in. I can shoot you an email or something. Do you have a website?
We're about to cut off. So what you're going to do is call the same number on Friday at 11:05, and we will discuss it.
All right.
Okay. God bless you.